Good evening, world. We are the Tractor Spoken Film Show, and this is June 8th. Is it June 8th? It's June 9th. The radio had it wrong. I'm sorry to confuse you, gentle listeners. It is, in fact, June 9th. And Meta Herzog is in the studio tonight. She is, she's brought a variety of instruments. What do we have with us today, Meta? We have a keyboard, we have a violin, mixers. You can just try and guess what instrument that was. And tonight we will be watching. Actually, perhaps Meta could say a few words. Meta, you made the choice for the film that we're going to be watching tonight. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, this is a Scandinavian movie made by Ingmar Bergman, which I absolutely love, and I thought. It would suit in this context because it's about a woman who chose to not speak. And so it's about the act of listening. It's about these two women. And the one woman is silent and the other one is speaking. And
much like our situation is, even when we're having a conversation, the other is listening and one is speaking. Have you ever met Mr. Bergman?
I wish. No. I did not. I never met him.
Do you know anyone that has met him?
No, unfortunately not.
Just wondering.
But no, it was interesting as I was thinking about like Scandinavian movies and like soundscapes in Scandinavian movies. Mm-hmm. It's like interesting to think about it in relation to like being a person in LA and like that versus Copenhagen. And like Copenhagen has so many different sounds compared to like LA. LA is, it's like such a different soundscape.
What do you think, could you sum up the difference, I guess, or try to, what are the main points of difference?
I was talking to a European girl the other night and we, both our iPhones had like the church bell as its ringtone. And I was thinking about how I miss the sound of the bells.
Yeah.
It's like a drum, like Ringo Starr all over the city.
Do we have a bell? Do we have a bell with us tonight? Yeah. Okay. So should we start watching the film?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. So we're going to start watching the film now. A logo appears. A light rectangle emerges on the screen to the left of center, and then another geometric shape that looks like part of a finger. Gradually, more and more illumination happens. This is not yet the film, I think. This is just the opening credits, or is it the film?
This is the film, but it...
Oh, it is, yes.
It's like a film, the equipment.
Mm.
So it's like, and there's an erect penis.
Did I think, I just saw the penis, yeah.
And now there is like a...
The camera projecting at us, I think, the light. We're watching projection. Yes. A woman upside down, a child, an animation of what looks like a legless woman exercising.
Touching her breasts.
Some camera, hands moving, hands touching, white screen. The sound of the camera, the sound of the rolling film.
There's a skeleton jumping around. And a man in a pajama. And a really
tarantula?
Big spider.
Maybe not tarantula. And now a hand holding a sheepskin fur with a black dangling, black fur dangling through his finger. Blood? Is it blood?
Yes.
It's blood.
It's like sheep's blood.
Sheep's blood. Close up on the eye of the sheep. Dead eye.
And a violin, sounds of violence.
And if this is happening, organs in a vignette. Vignette surrounded by white field. A nail through a hand. Nail being hit and put into the hand. Nailed. A hand nailed. It's laying on the table, maybe. On wood. Wood texture.
There's like, yeah, it's a kind of wall that turns into a forest. As a winter forest in Sweden.
Snow. Spiky. And then the trees turn into a spiky, I forgot the word for it.
Fence.
Oh, a close-up of the chin and mouth and a part of a nose, unmoving. And now from below, looking up nostrils, a person laying on the bed covered with sheet up to his nipples, his hand dangling off the bed. An older man... We're looking at him. We see his left ear, his hand. His right hand is over his left hand on the sheet. His feet against the light of the window, the left foot up. A woman with eyes closed, old, upside down, right part of the face in shadow. She opens her eyes. The younger man on the bed turns to us. He moves his head slightly. He moves his body. He turns around. Facing the large gray wall, luminous gray, and he pulls the sheet over himself, and his foot comes out of the sheet. He sits up, he covers the feet with the sheet, and the sheet is folding up in the way that a still life often has a drapery, a dramatic artistic drapery. Now it's a young boy. He's maybe 11 or 10 years old. He's quite beautiful with straight hair and full lips. And he's looking down. He picks up glasses, round glasses. He takes a book onto his bed. I'm not sure what the title is. He opens the book and starts reading. He's not wearing anything. You can see his thin body. And it is as though he hears something and he looks up. He looks searchingly around and then turns back to us, looks at the camera. And he moves his hand in front of the camera. His hand is giant. We're then looking at him over his shoulder, and it is as though he's touching a screen or a glass window behind which an enormous blurry face of, I think, a woman begins to appear. His hand is black against the light, against the luminous projection of the woman, and he is caressing her representation up from the nose into the right eye and over the right eye, the silhouette of his hand slowly moving across and down the nose. She disappears for a second, and she appears again. She closes her eyes. Persona, a film by Ingmar Bergman. Man appears B.B. Anderson, lips, Livelman, man, boy, Margarita Krook, Gunnar Bjorstrand, Sven Nyquist, Anders Bodden, Lars Jonsson, boy, architect, B.B. Lindström.
Kostume Marco, klipning Ulla Ryge, Lars Johan Werle, musik, lyd Petersen, Lennart Ingholm, mixing Ole Jacobsen, effekter Evald Jacobsen, Bo Vibenius, rekvisitter Carl André, Lars Ove Carlsberg, skript Kai Bjerg, Linit Holtsberg, laboratorium filmteknik Aga Lyd, svensk filmindustri.
Syster Anna har varit inne och slutat.
I'll explain to you why you must take care of her. As you may know, Miss Fogler is an actress. She was cast as Elektra. In the middle of the play, she went silent and looked around as if she was surprised. She stayed silent for a minute. Later, she excused herself, saying that she could not contain her laughter. The next day, the theater called to ask if she had forgotten her rehearsal. When the housekeeper went to see her, she was still in bed. She was awake, but did not respond to her questions and did not answer. She's been like that for 3 months, and they have done all tests imaginable. The result is clear. She's totally sane, physically as well as mentally. It's not even about a hysterical reaction. Do you have any questions, Sister Alma? No? Then go to Miss Fogler. And then there's a woman in the nurse suit.
So it was a conversation between a nurse and her supervisor. The nurse walks into a room where a bed with the actress. They have a conversation. Maybe I should tell you about myself, says the nurse. I'm 25 years old and engaged. I've been a nurse for 2 years now. My parents have a family. The entire time, the woman is laying in bed. My mother was a nurse before marrying. No answer. I will go for a dinner plate. Fried liver and a fruit salad. This looks very good. Would you like to raise your head? Are you fine like this? The actress is looking at us. Sister Anna, what is your first impression? I don't know what to say, doctor. First, her face seemed sweet, almost infantile. Then her eyes. She had such a severe stare. I don't know, maybe I should. What are you thinking, Sister Anna? Maybe I should turn down this job. She smiles and says it lightly. Has something scared you? No, but she should have an older and more experienced nurse. Experienced in life. It could be that I may not be able to handle it. Mentally? If the state of Mrs. Vogler is the result of a decision, it should be strong like one she... And it is a decision that shows great mental strength. Maybe I'm not up to it. The nurse looks at, well, she opens the window and she says to Mr. Vogler that she will close it later. Would you like me to turn on the radio? The room is in half tones. Excuse me, my dear. We hear that on the radio. Oh, you must forgive me. There's nothing else I desire other than your forgiveness. And this, what are you laughing at, Mrs. Vogler? If the actress is the one that's funny. What do you know about comparison? What do you know, says the radio? What do you know about comparison? Mrs. Vogler turns off the radio. The lights that are inside the radio, that were inside the radio, go off. I don't understand this sort of thing, says Mrs. Vogler. The nurse leans over her. I like cinema and theater, but I hardly go. And she says this. I feel a great admiration for artists. She says this, and her face is not lit. It's practically black, a silhouette against the drape of the curtain.
I should talk about those things. I'm skating on ice. Let me see if I can find some music. Is it all right like this? Good night, Mr. Fogler.
Mrs. Vogler turns her head to the right, and as the nurse closes the door behind her, she leaves. She's wearing a cap that has two points starched. Mrs. Vogler's face is in close-up. She's looking up while laying on a pillow. She's listening to music that's playing in the background. She's still. The light is fading. and only the bright reflection in her eyes and a little bit of highlight on the forehead as well, and some of the whiteness, the light grayness of the sheet is all we're seeing. The light is fading, but her eyes are open.
The sound of violence.
And now only a light across her right cheek and a little bit of a sheet. The sound of violin. Is getting up. It is, we're not seeing her in bed. She's wearing a white nightdress, and we see her, the top of her head as she lays it down on the pillow and pulls the covers over her. The room is black. She turns on the light and says, "Damn it." She sits up and she puts cream on her neck. It's strange. One goes through life doing the same things. She's rubbing the cream on her neck, on her cheek. "I will marry Carl Hendrick and I will have some children. Then I will raise, that I will raise. All of this is decided, it is inside me. There's nothing to think. It is an enormous feeling of society. I have a good job and I am happy with him. That is also good. But on the other hand, but it is good." She closes the cream bottle. It says it's good and lays in bed again. And there's a feeling that it is a stage. It's almost like she was sitting on the stage. In the middle of the stage, she's looking.
Yeah.
"I ask myself, what will really happen?" she says when the room is faded to dark. And it's interesting because we are seeing the subtitles, so
yeah.
Something comes on the screen. But in fact, if it was just in Swedish, there would be nothing. And Mrs. Vogel is pacing in her room, which also looks like a set in
yeah.
a proscenium.
And it's very like Scandinavian. It's
very Scandinavian.
Minimal.
The light is very sort of, there's all this subtle lighting. She comes in and out of the light and she casts a shadow onto a door. There's a draped, what do you call it when it, the shutter? Is it a draped shutter? What you can?
The curtain?
I guess it's a curtain. There's a curtain on the right, and I think some sort of radio, a door, and a cot that's very medicinal. It's very hospital. Oh, it's a television. On television, there. I think it's right. It's 1966, 68. Mm-hmm. People are riding in the street. It's maybe Middle East, or maybe
this,
Africa.
I think it's Vietnam.
Oh.
And it's a Buddhist monk who, as a resistance act, lit himself on fire.
Mm, oh yes, yes. Then we're seeing him on fire. Mrs. Vogler clasped her mouth over her face, and she walks back into a corner until she pushes herself into a wall, and she's looking at the monk. But when we see the monk, we don't get a sense of looking at it through the television screen, but have a sense of being in both places at once. She's breathing heavily.
And there was the sound of an angry crowd that was like cut abruptly.
Yeah, and then the sound of her breath. The sound of the envelope of being opened. A letter comes. Should I read it? We see hands. Is her name Anna? Would you like me to read it? The nurse asks Mrs. Vogler.
No answer.
She puts on glasses.
"Dear Elizabeth, since they don't permit me to see you, I'm writing you. If you don't want me to read my letter, then you can ignore it. I cannot stop looking for contact with you, since I am tormented by constantly one question. Have I hurt you in any way? Have I hurt you without knowing it? Is there a terrible misunderstanding between us?
She stops and she looks at her. Do you think that I should keep reading this? No answer. glasses back on.
Lately we were happy, as far as I thought. We had never been so close to each other. Do you remember when you'd say, "Now I understand marriage. You have shown me I don't understand what he's writing." Yes. That we should see each other like two anxious children, full of goodwill and the best intentions. But governed by forces that we only partially control. Do you remember saying all this? We walked through the woods, and you stopped me from holding onto my belt.
Mrs. Vogel grabs a letter and crumbles it. I think we don't see it. There's also a picture with the letter. It's a picture of your son. I don't know if... would you like to see it, Mrs. Vogler? The photo of the son comes into the frame next to her. He's such a beautiful child. She takes it and she looks at it. She's wearing a gray coat, sitting against a gray wall. She tears the photograph in half. Looks pensive, looking down. Someone comes behind her, a hand and part of a coat. I have been thinking, Elizabeth, and I don't think you should still be in the hospital. I think it's for the worst. We put into her hands. She's peeling potatoes and she don't know when to go home. Go to my house on the coast. A doctor with a pearl necklace. You think I don't understand the impossible dream? Not of seeing, but of being conscious every moment, vigilant. At the same time, the abyss between what the feeling of vertigo and the constant desire, at least of being exposed,
of being annihilated. Even word a lie, every gesture a falsehood, every smile a grimace. Suicide. Oh no, that's terrible.
The doctor that's speaking to Mr. Vogler is lighting a cigarette. But you can stay mobile and in silence. At least that way you don't die. You can close within yourself, alienate yourself. This way you will not have...
But do you see, reality is in that way. Your hiding place is not impenetrable. Life sweeps its through everywhere.
Mrs. Vogler's profile is dark and close to the camera with a little lit on the right. The doctor comes close. She furrows her brow. She looks at her closely. The question is only important in theater, she says. And almost not even there. What is the question? I understand you, Elizabeth. I understand that you are in silence, that you are immobile, that you have placed this lack of will. I understand you and I admire you. I think you should maintain this role until it ends. And she smiles knowingly, until it stops being interesting. Then you can leave it.
In the same way that you left little by little to the others. In the end of the summer, Miss Folklore and her sister and the nurse moved to the summer house. Being close to the sea, that produced a favorable effect on her. The apathy that has crippled her was left behind. Sister Alma enjoyed her rural reclusion and her patient. And they're walking outside. One has a white hat on and one has a black hat. And they're plucking mushrooms and they're by the sea. And they're reading and singing.
Two beautiful hats. mushrooms. Is it the sea? They're by the sea?
Yeah. And a pine tree in the background. Don't you know that it's bad luck to compare hands?
She's not answering. She's holding a mushroom in one hand and looking through a book with the other hand. The other woman smiles, but we don't see her
Elizabeth?
Eyes.
May I read you something from my book? Am I bothering you? It starts like this. All the anxiety that we carry with us, our frustrated dreams, the incomprehensible cruelty of fear of extinction, the interior painful view of the terrestrial have slowly eroded our hope.
Each sentence
and any other
we see a landscape, a aspect of a landscape.
The billow of our faith is one of the most terrible tests of our abandonment and of our terrified and indistinguishable knowledge. Do you think it is like that? She asks.
And Mrs. Vogler nods, yes.
I don't believe it, she says.
They're sitting by the window at a breakfast table.
My worst effect is laziness, or later...
With the sea and the mountains in the background.
Well, Henrik fights with me. He says I'm always like a zombie.
A coffee pot.
I think it's not fair. In exams, I was the best from my group. But it's certain that he refers to something else.
She opens a coffee. She pours it into a cup. She pours some for Mrs. Vogler. The nurse is wearing striped pajamas. Those that always lived for their work. They live in their small rooms. Imagine all your life dedicated to something. I mean to say believing in something, carrying out, believing that your life has a purpose. I like things that way. Clinging to one thing intensely and nothing else matters. It should be done, meaning something to the rest. You don't think the same. And then Mrs. Vogler touches the cheek of Anna. She pets it. I know it seems childish. Anna responds, oh my God, look at the rain. But we're seeing Mrs. Vogler.
We were married. We had a relationship for 5 years. I was so much in love, that's for sure. And he was the first. I remember everything in a long torment.
And wearing black.
Long periods of pain and later short period of as if you teach me to smoke. He used to smoke a lot. Thinking about it now is really common, cheap fiction. In a certain way, it was never real. I don't know how to describe it.
The camera pans on.
At least it was never real for him. My pain was real, that's certain.
Out of the
it seems that I was part of it, but in a disagreeable manner, like it had
down
to that way,
you don't see
including the things we said to each other.
The face is Mrs. Vogler, only her arm, until Anna gets up and walks away.
Many people told me that I'm a good listener. Isn't
Anna's
it funny?
Listening. Well,
no one
had
bothered to listen to me. Like you are doing now, you're listening. I think you're the first person who have listened to me. It can't be that interesting. I think it might be better to read a book. God. And I continue. Is it bothering you? It's so nice to talk. One feels so warm and good. I've never felt this way in my life.
She buries her face in Mrs. Vogler's shoulder and picks up a glass of wine.
I always wanted a sister.
And
I only had a bunch of brothers. Funny. And then I arrive, and all my life I've been surrounded by boys. I like boys. But you should know that with all of your acting experience. I really like Carl Henrik. But as you know, you only love one time. I'm faithful to him. In my profession, there are opportunities, I'm telling you that. Carl Hendrick and I had rented a house next to the sea. It was June and we were alone.
Oh, this is a beautiful shot for this focus.
One day Carl Hendrick had to go to the city and we went to the beach alone. It was really great.
Creating an ellipsis on the black wall.
There were also another girl.
Cigarette.
She lived in a nearby island, but I had
Anna
to come to
sitting
her
in
beach
a chair
because it was facing the south up. And much more protected.
Looking down, she's
we lay down to sunbath completely naked.
And
we slept a little and then
the
we rubbed
listening.
Some oil. We had those cheap straw hats. Mine had a blue ribbon. I was laying and looking from underneath it.
I contemplated the view, the sea and the sun. It was so very strange. She's sitting isolated in the black. Suddenly, I saw two figures jumping from the rocks and on top of us. They would hide and spy after us. There are two boys looking at us. She was called Katarina. Well then, let them look, she said. And then she turned around. It was a very strange sensation. I wanted to hide and dress, but I just stayed still, face down, with my ass on in the air, totally ashamed, totally quiet. Looking at Mrs. Vogler, the whole time I had Katarina next to me, with her thick chest and thighs. She was there laying, laughing a little to herself. Suddenly I saw the two boys getting close and looking. I thought they were extremely young. Then one of them, the bolder one, got right close to us. And then he started crouching next to Katarina. He pretended to be holding his foot and he seated to touch his toes. She looks upset. I was feeling totally strange. And then unexpectedly, Katarina said, well, aren't you going to get on top? And then she touched his head and helped him get undressed. Suddenly he was on top of her. She looks ahead as though seeing the scene that she's describing and she was helping and was holding her behind. The other boy simply sat and observed. I heard Katarina whisper in his ear and laugh. I had his face directly in front of mine. It was all red and swollen. So then I turned around and said, aren't you going to come with me? Katarina said, now go with her. And he left her and landed on me completely hard. He grabbed one of my breasts. God, how it hurt. And in some way, I was ready and I came immediately. I was going to tell him, be careful so I won't get pregnant. When he came, I felt for the first time in my life how he poured inside me. He grabbed me by the shoulders and backwards I came again and again. Katarina was now on his side looking at him and held him from behind. When he came, she hugged him and grabbed his hand to masturbate with. When she came, she cried so much. As Anna described it, she takes a cigarette. She's still sitting in the armchair. Then all three started to laugh. She walks up to a window. We called the other boy. His name was Peter. She finds a match by the window. She lights her cigarette. She sits by the window. He was confused and with the aspect of being completely frozen. Katarina unbuttoned his pants and started to play with him. He came in her mouth. He bent forward and started to kiss her on her back. She turned around, grabbed his head with both hands and offered her breast. The other boy was so excited that we both started again. It was as good as the first time. Then we swapped
and said goodbye. When he returned home, Carl Hendrick was home. We dined together and drank the red wine he had brought. She's looking at the window, and the rain is rushing along the window. Then we slept together. Never had it been that good, nor before or after. She looks back at Mrs. Vogler. She's laying down next to Mrs. Vogler. I ended up pregnant, of course. She's in shadow. Carl Hendrick, which was studying medicine, took me to a friend and had it aborted. She's crying. We can see the water coming out of her eyes. We're both happy we didn't want children, well, at least for a moment. She's crying. She turns away. The screen is black. She's crying. As she moves her head, we see a little bit of the white of her dress and the pillow. Mrs. Vogler's face is illuminated. She's not making any expressions.
It's the better thing when you believe in it. Isn't it needed? She asks.
She's looking up, expressionless.
Can you be one of the same She's person?
Observing.
I mean, am I two people? God, I'm so dumb.
Well, I'm not going to get a tissue. She's smiling, Mrs. Vogler is smiling and looking up at as she got up and laid down, and then they hug and they kiss. Mrs. Vogler is smiling and she's touching her hair. It's daylight now. It is still raining. The nurse is wearing the striped pajamas. Imagine I have been speaking and you have been listening. What a bore it must be for you, she says playfully, flirtatiously. One should be like you. She touches Mrs. Vogler's hair. You know what I saw when I say the movie was great? When I got home, I saw myself in the mirror and thought, we're the same. And as she's speaking, we don't really see the face. We don't see the face as Mrs. Vogler. She's in the shadow.
I think I could become you if I made an effort. I mean, from the inside.
She laughs a little. She says,
look at me like this, with nothing, no effort. I would overflow all over.
And she laughs and she drops her head onto the table.
You should sleep. If not, you'll sleep on the table. And this voice is coming from a diffuse place. You're not sure if it's coming from Vogler, who has been silent.
And whose face we're not seeing right now. No, I should sleep. If not, I will sleep. And she repeats those words.
And she looks confused by the fact that she don't know where the voice came from.
A candle is lit, even though it's daylight. It's flickering. The shadow of Anna? No. What is her name? Anna?
Alma.
Alma is walking through the room. She opened the door and I think she went to the bathroom. She got a drink of water and the glass is transparent. We see it's lit by the window that's in the other room. She gets into bed. There's a great deal of beds in this room.
Many beds. Many curtains,
yes. Yes, also, Mrs. Vogler is coming through from the other room, ghost-like, wearing a flowing garment that matches the curtain perfectly. A breeze, and all the fabric moves on the body and on the wall. She walks in and stops looking at Alva.
She looks at her and is like hovering over her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she walks out slowly through another door, walking into the light. And there's no music, silence.
And she's luminous and ghost-like. And now she's and sound. She makes no sound as she walks, and she comes back completely silent and quite ominous. And Elva seems frightened for a second, but she gets up. She comes close. She puts her head on Mrs. Vogel's shoulder. They're in the dark next to each other. Mrs. Vogler's behind Alva. It's almost in a dance-like move. She caresses her forehead, pulls her hair back, and then they're standing next to each other, their faces barely visible. Sound of the wind or the fan. Fade to dark. The landscape. A man is walking in the distance, very small. Mrs. Vogler's face comes up. She had the camera, she takes a photograph. She's wearing a leather jacket, or she's wearing kind of a hiking costume with boots. Or it's a woman. The silhouette in the distance was Alva. They're walking on this landscape that has rocks. Rocks and water in the background. Like volcanic formation rocks.
Listen, Elizabeth.
She's giving her, Mrs. Vogler.
Did you call me last night? Did you talk to me? And she shakes her head as if in saying no.
From the distance, the ocean and the rocks are very similar, except one moves. The ocean does. They're walking, stepping over the rocks. They're flat. Wide flat rocks. Are they particular to Scandinavian landscape?
Yeah, very.
Last night, were you in the bedroom?
It's called Skärgården.
What is it?
Den svenska Skärgården.
Skärgården. But how do you say it in English?
I don't know.
It's a particular rock.
It's this particular very rocky place in Sweden.
Okay.
It's like I've to go there to sail in a canoe with my parents, and there's like a thousand little islands, like rocky islands like that.
Faroe Island? No, that's not Faroe.
No.
Oh. my small geographic knowledge. Anyway, back to the film. She was not in the bedroom. Alva walks towards the ocean. Looks back. She's walking kind of carelessly and directionlessly. Typewriter. Mrs. Vogel is signing a letter that she took. Just took out a car in the distance. Someone's running out of the car. Is it Alva? We don't know yet. A station wagon is visible in the distance. Very pale blue. Several letters collected. Do you also
want me to take your mail? Can you give me a sip? She drinks off her coffee cup. Goodbye.
It's an energetic morning, a different sort of feeling of activity and casual routine. They say goodbye through a glass window. Alva is driving the car. She's concentrating. Trees are passing by. She's looking at the letters. One is half one is open. She's clear. She's struggling. She bit her lower lip. She keeps looking at the letter. The opening in the letter is beckoning her. She turns it over. She looks at it. She puts it back down. Drives through a muddy country road. It's an old car. The reflection of the trees in the windshield. Stops. Picks up the letter. Her hands next to the wheel. Glasses. The letter.
Dear doctor, I always wanted to live this way, to in the silence, feeling the maltreated soul. It finally started to heal. Alma's spoiling me in the most moving manner.
And each statement is,
I think, by the way, that she's enjoying it and that she likes me a lot. She's even excited in a delicious and unconscious way. It's fun to study her.
Anna looks up and down.
Sometimes she cries for past sins, like an orgastic episode with an unknown guy followed. She complains that her life concept don't agree with her actions.
Alma takes off the glasses and just stops for a moment, opens the door. She has a look of consideration, surprise in her face. She's standing by the pond and she's looking at her reflection, and now she's back at the house. There's a sense of awareness and kind of impending something that's... She's wearing a bathing suit. Walks across to the table and takes her hat. Comes outside this landscape. This looks like California for a second.
Yeah.
She walks into a courtyard, which is very bright. It seems like Californian sun. She's looking at the light. Puts one of her legs up on the bench. The trees are moving. The hat is on. This is almost a Maya Deren film for a moment.
She drops a glass on the floor and it smashes. She leaves it on the floor.
She comes back with a broom. Brooms up. She's cleaning in her bathing suit. Down. She's smoking a cigarette. I can't tell from the distance. She's doing something in the courtyard, smoking a cigarette. Mrs. Vogler behind her passes through the house behind the curtain and walks back. But the hat casts a shadow on Alma's face and she no longer looks eager and innocent. She had the look of suspicion on her face, I would say. So feet walk by Mrs. Vogler. Alma is holding, has her arms folded across her chest. In a defensive mode, we see her from behind. She's following Mrs. Vogler with her gaze. Gets up. Now Mrs. Vogler steps into the glass that's been left over. Alma walks up to the window. She's opening a curtain. She walks up to her curtain. She's opening it. Mrs. Vogler's outside, looking pained. A montage.
It's like a fire burning through the movie. And the skeleton comes again. It dances. And the man is yelling. The nail is going through the hand again. You see an eye very close up. You see the little spider veins. You hear the sound of a piano.
A blurry shadow of a blurry figure of a woman walks through what looks like the houses we were in, but everything is a complete blur and abstracted and soft. A door opens and closes. A woman walks forward.
There's the sound of violins and strings. And the image becomes clear.
Walks outside. This is Mrs. Vogler with her long hair and a ponytail behind her head. She's looking for someone, a mountain behind her. She's walking on the rocks, a cloudy sky. Very epic and almost like a painting.
Is the sound of the ocean really loud?
The light is bright. She smiles. Almost there, wearing black glasses and looking. Reading a book, wearing all black.
I see that you're reading theater. That's a good sign. I'll tell the doctor.
Both are wearing books.
Do you think we should leave soon? I'm starting to miss the city, don't you?
She nods. She nods her hair no. Not her head, no. And continues reading of the book. Alma walks to the house, slams the door, returns. Mrs. Vogler jumps up.
Would you really like to make me happy, she asks. I know it's a sacrifice, but I need your help right now. There's nothing dangerous. I want to you to talk to me. It doesn't have to be anything special, just anything. What are we having for dinner? Or if you think that the water is cold after a storm or too cold to go swimming. You should need to speak to me just a few minutes. Just 1 minute. You could read from your book. Just some words. I must try to not get upset. You stay in silence. But I need you to speak to me now. My dear wife, can't you say not even a simple word? I knew you would oppose. You cannot know how I feel. I always thought that the great artist felt great compassion for the rest, that he created from great understanding and sympathy and necessity to help. Stupid me.
Turns away, walks away. Mrs. Fuller continues.
You abuse me.
To tear apart.
Now that you don't need me, you throw me out.
Pages of a new book.
She's yes, I hear very well how it sounds.
A sculpture
it's
of a woman.
Sound. You abuse me.
A sculpture. Or a puppet. Or a scarecrow dressed in an 18th century dress. She screams. Mrs. Vogler comes up from behind.
You really heard me.
Almost clearing the desk.
You've laughed behind my back. I read the letter you sent the doctor. It wasn't sealed. I read it all. You made me talk. You made me say things that I would never have told anyone. And you tell them a study you earned. Well, now are you going to
starts
talk?
Starts shaking her. Mrs. Vogler hits her. They're fighting. Alma's nose has started bleeding. She's going after Alma. There's a hot. She picks up the boiling water from the stove and
no,
she's
don't.
About to throw it.
Finally, she talks.
And she backs away and leans against the wall and breathes heavily.
You were really scared, huh? For a second, you really were afraid, weren't you? A real fear of death. You thought that Alma had become crazy. What kind of person are you, really? Or do you think like this? I always remember that face, that tone of voice, that expression. I will give you something that you will not forget.
And she scratches it. Mrs. Vogler runs her hand over the cheek and checks, looks at it. She smiles. She lifts her eyebrow.
Are you laughing? For me, it's simple. Not funny. But you always have your smile.
The smile is dropping. Alma is washing her face in an oval sink. Behind her head, she's washing away. She washed away, washing away the blood. She's crying. She's crying, reaches for the towel. Cries into the towel, sits down on the toilet, and continues crying. Pats herself dry, drops the towel, leans on the sink, buries her face in her hands. She's sitting in this room that is like a sauna room, a bathroom made of slats of wood. Light Scandinavian wood. She stops crying for a moment, starts brushing her hair, and cries, doesn't cry, and then cries a little and stops crying. Mrs. Vogler from behind gives her a cup of coffee. They're standing in front of the window.
Must it be like this? Is it really important not to lie? To speak with a truthful tone? Can one live without speaking freely? To lie, flee, and avoid things? Isn't it better to let oneself be lazy and forgetful and false? Maybe you'd be better if you allowed yourself to be what you are. No, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm saying. You are inaccessible. They said you were mentally sane, but your craziness is the worst. You act as if you were sane. You do it so well that all believe you, except for me, because I know how broken you are. What am I doing?
In her hand.
Elizabeth.
She's running and crying, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, forgive me. I behave like an idiot. I don't know what happened to me. I'm here to help you, but when I saw that horrible letter, I felt very betrayed. You asked me to talk about myself. It was nice. You seemed so compassionate. I had drank too much. It was so nice to be able to talk to anybody about that.
She's walking.
I was also flattered because a great actress was listening.
Running up to her.
I thought it would be all right to tell it would help you.
She's trying to run ahead.
Is that terrible, really? Total exhibitionism. As Elizabeth, forgive me. I value you very much. You mean so much to me. I've learned so much from you. I don't want us to be separate like this.
She turns around. She opens her mouth. And looks at Alma and turns back again and walks. She disappeared from the frame. Alma is running after her. We're seeing them through the trees. Alma's running.
You don't want to forgive me. You have too much pride. You are not humiliating yourself because you don't want to. I will not do it. I will not do it.
Alma's running in a different direction now. She's running toward the ocean. She falls down. She starts crying. She's crying into the rocky ground. The light fades. She's sitting and looking forward. Elizabeth is pacing along the window and smoking a cigarette. It is dark inside, but still bright outside. Smoke, water, rocks, lamp, lit lamp. She's looking at the lamp from below, rocks. Mama is sitting in the rocks. Elizabeth is walking. There's a sound of strings.
Sounds of some horns in the background. Oh. Horn music.
Elizabeth's head is looming large against the horizon. Only sitting still. Elizabeth is inside, comes back to the light. Her head is in her hands. She has, her hands are in a praying position. She opens a book. She finds a letter. We don't see her face. Just a small light, a bit of the hand. She turns up the lamp brighter, and now it's half the spear of the lamp, and Elizabeth's face bright. She lays down next to the lamp as she's looking at a photograph of a boy. A boy with his hands lifted up, like someone said, Hunde Hoch. This is like from World War II. I think someone is pointing a gun at the boy, a Jewish boy perhaps. People with their hands lifted. German soldiers surrounding them. Close up on the photographs of older women. Boy and his mother. That's the first boy with his hands up. Alma is laying on the floor. She's trying to get up, but she cannot. She's pushing herself up with her hands. She cannot get up. She's shaking her head. We're seeing her from above in the bed. She jumps up. She sits up. She's in a single bed. She's grabbing her head with her hands and ruffling up her hair. And then places her face in between her palms and holds them. She reaches for her bag. A radio.
We don't speak. We don't listen. We don't understand. Elizabeth, what does it mean to be able?
The radio is off. Remains in the bed. Almost coming through the curtain. She's standing above Elizabeth, and she touches her face with her hand, her forehead, as though checking for temperature, and looking at her closely. Her face is close. Elizabeth's mouth is open slightly, and she's sleeping.
When you sleep, your face is flaccid. The face is swollen and ugly. You have an ugly wrinkle on the face. You smell of sleep and tears. I see your pulse beat on your throat. You have a scar that you normally cover up with makeup. Elizabeth. Is calling again. I found out what they want from us here far in our solitude.
Elizabeth opens her eyes. Alma's walking inside the house with the landscape passing behind her.
Elizabeth.
A hand reaches for her.
Elizabeth.
She hears.
Sorry if I frighten you. I'm not Elizabeth. I don't come here asking you for anything. I don't want to bother you. You think I don't understand. The doctor explained things. The most difficult is explaining to the child. I do what I can. There's something that lies deep that is difficult to see. You love someone, to be exact. You say you love someone. It is incomprehensible, intangible, like words, that is.
Elizabeth comes from behind.
Ms. Folklore, I'm not your wife. You are also loved.
Behind
you have created a small sisterhood. It generates security.
Speaking.
You see the possibility of it lasting. How can I say everything that I have thought without losing myself?
Elizabeth
without boring you.
Eyes. She takes Alma's hand away. And then she...
I love you.
Her
just
face.
As I have loved you before.
The man is wearing glasses. She takes them off.
Don't be so anxious, my loved one. We have each other.
Alma...
We have faith.
Comes up to
we know our mutual thoughts.
She
we love one another, isn't it true?
She kisses
the most
him.
Important thing is the effort, not what we obtain, right?
Elizabeth is looking at her silently.
I see each other like children, defenseless and tormented, alone.
Close up on her face.
Elizabeth, tell the boy, I will go soon. That mom has been sick. That she's been longing to see her little one. Remember to buy him a gift from mommy. You don't know that I have so much love for you. It's almost difficult to bear.
As he says it, Alma looks at
Elizabeth. I don't know what to do with all my tenderness.
He's facing the camera.
I live from kindness.
Not looking at her husband and Alma. Alma
Elizabeth,
and
don't you like being
Mr.
with
Vogler
me?
Kiss.
Isn't it nice?
Elizabeth turns to
your wonderful
see Mr.
lover, you know
Vogler
that.
And Alma lay next to
and
each
I love
other.
You.
He's holding her hand.
Curse me, please leave me. No, I can't. I can't endure it anymore. Leave me in peace. This is a shame. Everything is shame. Leave me in peace.
His face is above hers as though he's looking at her.
Everything is a lie of limitations. Everything.
Elizabeth is looking straight into the camera. Everything fades to white. Two hands.
Elizabeth, what do you have there? What are you hiding under your hand? Let me see.
Third hand.
The picture of your boy, the one you had torn apart. We should talk about it.
Mama looks down at the photograph.
Tell me about it, Elizabeth, then I will do it. It was one night after a party, right? It was late and very loud. The dawn was approaching and someone in the group said, Elizabeth, like a woman and an artist, practically everything under your belt, but you lack the motherly feelings. You laughed because you thought it was nonsense. After a while, you started to think about what he said.
Elizabeth shakes her head.
Worried you more and more. You let your husband impregnate you. You wanted to be a mother. Then you found out that it was true. You became afraid. The responsibility frightened you to be tied, to leave the theater. The pain scared you, death, that your body would smell.
Elizabeth looks back at Alma.
But you acted out the role of future young and happy mother.
Her brow slightly furrowed.
The whole world said she's so beautiful. She's never been so beautiful.
She looks to the left.
Meanwhile, you tried to abort several times, but you failed. When you saw that it was irreversible, you started to hate the baby and wanted to stillbirth.
Elizabeth's eyes are open wide.
You wished that the baby was dead.
Distressed. Her mouth is open slightly.
You wanted a dead baby.
She closed her eyes and then, as though about to cry,
it was a long and difficult birth. You were in pain for several days. Finally, the baby was born using forces, and you saw you with disgust and terror your crying child and murmured, can't you die soon? Can you not die? But he survived. The boy cried day and night. hated him. You were afraid and felt guilty. Finally, relatives and Sita took care of the baby. You could not get up from the bed and return to the theater.
Elizabeth is looking at the camera.
But your pain had not ended.
Right, part of her face is limited.
The boy saw himself trapped by miserable love for his mother.
In the shadow.
You defended yourself. You defended yourself desperately. You felt that you can't correspond. And you try and keep trying. But between you, there's only cruel and rough encounters. You can't do it. And you're cold, you're indifferent. He looks at you. He loves you, and he's so tender. You want to hit him because he doesn't leave you alone. You think he's repulsive with his thick lips and ugly eyes, with his wet and baggy eyes. He's repulsive.
Hands. Another hand comes over.
What are you hiding under your hand? Let me see.
And the third hand opens, the first two hands.
The picture of your boy, the one you tore. You should talk about it.
Elizabeth looks up. Searchingly. Alma is wearing identical clothes and identical black band around her hair.
Then I will do it. It was a night at a party, right? It was late and loud.
Now we see Alma's face as she's
dawn was approaching and someone from the group said,
the story of the night.
Elizabeth, like a woman and an artist, you have practically everything under your
Alma's
belt.
Face is in
but
the
you
lack
motherly feelings.
The left illuminated.
You laughed because you thought it was nonsense. And after a while, you started to think about what he said. It worried you more and more. You let your husband impregnate you.
Elizabeth turns her face.
You wanted to be a mother. And when you found out that it was true, you became afraid. The responsibility frightened you. To be tired, to leave the theater. The pain scare you, death. Your body will swell. But you played the role. The role of a future young and happy mother. The whole world said, you're so beautiful. You've never been so beautiful. Meanwhile, you tried to abort several times. But you failed. When you saw that it was irreversible, you started to hate the baby. You wished a stillbirth. You wished that the baby would die. You wanted a dead baby. It was a long and difficult birth. You were in pain for several days. Finally, the baby was born using forceps. He was with disgust and terror, your crying child, and murmured, can't you die soon? Can't you die? The day you cried day and night, you hated him. You were afraid and felt guilty. Finally, some relatives and a sitter come and took care of the baby. You couldn't get up from bed and return to the theater.
But the suffering did not end. The boy was trapped with an immeasurable love for his mother. You defend desperately. You feel that you can't correspond, and you try and keep trying, but between you, there's only cruel and rough encounters. You can't do it. You're cold and indifferent. He looks at you. He loves us and is tender. You want to hit him because he doesn't leave you in peace. You think he's repulsive with his thick mouth and ugly body, with his wet and begging eyes. He's repulsive, and you are afraid. And now two faces are merging together. for a moment Elizabeth and Alma, two huffs of their bright faces. No, cries Alma, I am not like you. I do not feel like you. I'm Sister Alma. I'm only here to help you. I'm not Elizabeth Vogler. You're Elizabeth Vogler. I would like to have. I adore. I don't have their faces merge into one. Two bright halves merge to form a face. Right of Elizabeth, left of Alma. Elizabeth is sitting with a sauna slacks of wood behind her. She opens her eyes, looks up. Sister Alma comes up to her. She leans on the table, lowers herself to Elizabeth's eye level. I've learned so much. She reaches her hand almost to close Elizabeth's eyes, but then stops herself. Looks sternly at Elizabeth, her left side of her face illuminated. We'll see how long it can last. She looks at her. I will never be like you, never. I change all the time. I can do whatever you like, it won't affect you. You can do whatever you like, it won't affect me. She's wearing her uniform again, which is a light gray dress with an apron, a metal pin in the collar. Elizabeth's profile is stark and dark against the light of the window. Her face is a beautiful, full of beautiful curves, and she's completely still, not blinking. Or is it the computer? Hands banging on the table. Alma bears her face in the apron, then emerges again. Talking is useless. Put out the candle. Elizabeth turns to the camera and moves her lips though to speak. No, 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 no. Cautious and outside time, unforeseen. What was supposed to occur, I didn't, and therefore failed. Stay where you are, but I should do it. Face next to face, eye, cheekbone, the inclusible, and maybe profile. Face and hand. Here, yes, but what is closer? What do you call it? No, no, no. Us, our, you, me. Many words and such nausea, incomprehensible pain. Alma's profile against the light. Elizabeth's profile against the light. Elizabeth is looking down. She's opening her mouth. Alma is scratching her arm. Or she has slashed through her vein. Elizabeth sucks her blood, and Alma is pushing her Elizabeth's head down onto her arm, onto her wrist. She hits her, she hits her, she hits her, she hits her again. She hits her, and she hits her, and she hits her, and she hits her, and she hits her. Fade to black. Alma in twilight, her shadow. She's opened the door. She walks into the. She smiles kindly. Elizabeth is in bed, breathing heavily. In a dream, Alma pulls up Elizabeth by shoulders. She holds her by the shoulders. Listen to me, repeat after me. Elizabeth Hairband is now white. Her eyes are closed and she looks young and vulnerable. Nothing, says Alma. Elizabeth's eyes are still closed. Nothing. Elizabeth is slowly moving her head and her nostrils twitched. Nothing.
That's it. That's good. That's how it should be.
Shadows, distant highlights, unintelligible shapes. Light, gradually. Hair. Alma jumps up. They're back in the country house. She's back in the country house. She looks up past the bookshelf. Looks toward the window. We see a fleeting moment of Elizabeth, who's folding her clothes into a suitcase. She's dressed to leave. She closes her suitcase, she opens the door. Alma walks in inside with pillows. Walks through a dark room, bed. Alma picks up chair. More chairs, collecting pillows and chairs. Bringing the chairs from the outside inside. Walking efficiently, with no emotions. Looking at the reflection in the window, buttoning herself. Stopping for a moment, brushing her hair off, and suddenly seeing Elizabeth next to her, but a phantom who's brushing her hair with her hand. Hat. Pats the head on, pats the hair down. The sculpture that was wearing an 18th century dress is made out of wood. It's looking up. It's Electra. Elizabeth is Electra for a moment. Alma in an old-fashioned nurse outfit. Camera work. Viewfinder with a little bit of its face. A bus turning onto a road that leads away or to the sea. Someone is getting onto the bus with a suitcase. The ocean sound. The trees are moving slightly with the wind. The bus is moving past the tree. We pan down to see the rocky shore. The hand of the boy moving across the shape of a female face. Looks like Elizabeth's face. The film pulled off the reel. The fire is out. And that was Persona. One thing that I realized is that you were able to, I think, understand what they were saying. Were you able to understand what they were saying?
Yeah.
That must have been so strange.
So confusing.
Because you were speaking in English, you were reading in English while understanding Swedish.
Yeah, it was. I was
very impressed. How was the translation?
It's not very good.
Yeah, it felt automatic at times because it felt like they, and I would say, read things, and then I would realize that it was nonsensical.
Yeah.
You know, it was quite strange.
Yeah.
It was sort of like almost a Google Translate feeling at times. At times not, at times, but it was austere enough for it to seem real also.
Yeah, also, I think this is also a YouTube thing, so probably somebody just like translated it, and sometimes it's just when you're reading, it's like, what?
Did seem quite upset.
But it's interesting, but I'm happy that it's there.
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess our show is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mette, for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
And visiting. Perhaps you could do a final goodbye chord, a few notes of goodbye for our listeners.
Yes.